What is up, Angry Nation, and welcome back to our live little podcast. We're missing Emery again. Emery's a working boy. He's busy right now. But we've got the illustrious Bob Dooms of Mountain Readiness. What up, T?
What's shaking?
And there you go. And the illustrious Sue LaRue in the house. What up, Sue?
Oh, I'm just trying not to be irritated.
And then we have that guy back there, yeah, over that shoulder. That nice guy. Yeah, you know that guy. So, been a while since we got to do this. Last week was pre-recorded one up, and I was hoping we'd have Emery back, but I guess he don't come back till Friday.
Yeah, he gets back Friday night.
That's what I understand, Friday, yeah.
Dustin, when is book 13 coming out? We're not even, we're 1 minute in.
That
later quick is when it's coming. That quick. It's coming later is when it's
coming. Latter.
So, there's a T, that check is coming from my bank, so you know, for the Dalton Blaze guys that are going into production. The money's on its way. We'll get those blades going. Yes. And let's talk a little bit about what we're doing to it. So we're going to do a numbered run on the first ones. And they're going to have a custom color on the blades. And I don't know if we want – I'm thinking of keeping those scales all the way through because I think they look so cool, T.
Yes. And I think what we were talking was do the black blade and the custom scales with the leather printed Pydex.
Yep.
And it's beautiful, to say the least.
It does. Yes.
Beautiful.
So, what's that that thing behind you, Sue? What is that back there on the wall?
That, the one in the white or the black?
Yeah, the one in the white.
That's not tactical the rifleman. That's
tactical. The old, look here. Look at that. It just so happens. Here, he's sitting. Watch it. We'll make him appear. There he is.
Just like
I was
that
wondering where my other burner went.
Now you know.
My other burner went. That's funny stuff.
What the hell?
How you guys doing?
That was
good to see you.
Yeah. Coming up. Yeah, I'll let Carl explain it, but that emblem was before he added the tomahawk, took out one of the arrows and added one of the tomahawks, a tactical rifle. Yeah. Wow. So it's pretty close to the emblem we used to have.
Randy Rawhide to honor Randy.
Yep, did it for Randy. Yep.
Yeah, did it for Randy.
The guy that carries a gun on a horse belt.
There's so much truth in that.
Hey, what are we drinking tonight, Carl?
We have Dead Red, right?
Now, this is from the Dead Red Winery here on the Hilltop.
Yeah, we actually, on the hill, we make our own wine. Yeah. Me and my Aunt Helen, we make Dead Red. We make Helen's Finest.
Which is fantastic.
But we have a new one that's called Pink Mist.
Pink Mist.
My snipers out there.
I want to try the Pink Mist. I haven't had it yet. But the wine up here is fantastic, too.
I don't have enough grapes on the hill to actually make my own wine. But what I found out was, let's say you want to make a California wine. You can buy pre-mushed California grapes.
Right.
And you can make a California, let's say, Cabernet or something.
Yeah.
So like 1 year, me and Helen were talking at the movie, Silence of the Lambs, with the, drinking a Chianti, you know, while eating brains and stuff.
His liver. Liver with a nice Chianti.
Yeah, with a nice Chianti. That's from a certain vineyard in Italy. You can actually buy those grapes pre-crushed. So we did one batch. It didn't last very long.
I'll bet it
didn't. We get 24 to 28 bottles per batch.
Wow.
But I'm quite proud of the Pink Mist. Because the chuggability factor is very high in this.
The chuggability factor on all of Dead Red's wines is pretty high.
So
there you go.
Thank you to Patel from American Gun Chick for getting me these engraved glasses. I have engraved wine glasses, but my pinky has a sprain in it, so we can't use wine glasses. So I'll pour you.
We're gonna drink wine out of whiskey glasses instead.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, that smells good too.
you can. No, I mean, how's everything going for you, Sue? You know, I feel quite left out of this party.
I don't want.
Sorry, y'all. I mean, wish you were here. You could partake with us.
That looks amazing.
Baby Ada. They smell French. You could chug that if you had to. Not that you'd have to, but it's got a high chuggability factor. It really does.
Yes, it does. Fantastic. Ewe, you ready for mountain readiness? How are we looking, man?
Is this now? Were we talking to me? What?
Yes. Well, you are T of mountain readiness, so I think I'm talking to you.
I was dazed and confused. I was reading some comments over here in the column. And yes, Susan Bridger.
We were asking, are we ready for mountain readiness? I'm excited. I really am. I don't know half the classes you've got me down for, but I got this book, How to Set Up Your Body Armor for Dummies, and I'm going to read that prior to going to it so I can teach a two-hour seminar how to set up your body armor. We've got a bunch of short little seminars for anybody that's going to be there. I think it's really – I've never been to one of these events. So
you're like
– you pay one price and you go to whatever classes you want.
That's it.
We're not there yet, are we? Aren't we paying instructors separate right now?
What is it now?
I said, aren't we paying the instructors separate right now? Like when you sign up for courses, you got to pay the instructor direct?
No, I think it's all covered in one price.
No, it's all covered. So basically, all the classes, you don't have to sign up for the classes, all right? Just all the classes will be on a...
No, those are now shooting classes.
That's where I was.
Shooting classes are separate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're gonna be so there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the whole Mountain Readiness Expo. Excited at night, we're gonna be camping with Mel and Chris.
That's right.
Me and my wife, we've got a little off-road camper we're gonna have behind my Jeep, and it's badass. Yeah, it's got a 6.4 Hemi in it for going through the mountains.
It is a pretty incredible Jeep.
Me and Dana,
you should bring it down to Jeep Fest. You didn't have some classes.
That would be a good it's my camper. I'm gonna inherit that camper. Yeah.
We're going to be in the speedway. We're going to be on the beach.
That would be fun.
We're going to the park.
That would be fun. We're doing thing. But then, anybody that's interested in staying, me and Emery are going to stay. We're going to do five whole days of sun up to sundown shooting. But they got to pay separate for that.
And on that note, we will be giving away here very soon, because we're getting close, we're going to be giving away a slot in Carl's course. I'm giving that away. $50 value. I'm paying him for it, and then we're going to give it away. And one of you, that's right.
I need that. That's my ammo fix right there.
My ammo fix.
You know how much ammo? $750. But I didn't realize how much this stuff costs.
Yeah. You might get two cases of 9mm at the moment.
Me and Sue used to go out and shoot a can of rocket rounds through the Barrett 50 cal. Rafis, the Mark 211 Mod Zero, it's got Petten explosive in the head of it. And back then, they were $73 a round. And that was 2003. That was before Stu got kicked out. They were $73. And I'd shoot a whole can, 100 rounds. I'd come back in. This is in Africa. And I told the supply guy, like, you know, hey, I need another can of Rafis. And he's like, all right, Carl, I got 10 more cans for you, but come here, I want to show you something. He brought me into the little ammo tent, and he pulled it up. He's like, that's your DODAC number right there. And he's like, I just want you to know taxpayers are paying $23 per bullet for that. It's not the $2 that we pay for the ball.
And Carl's like, and I appreciate their support.
I'm like, dude, I don't give a shit. Give me another can. He's like, roger that, because I didn't, you know, it's like, I'm fighting a war.
Yeah.
We're fighting a war. That was 2002, 2003 time frame. Yeah, end of.
You weren't in Mali, were you?
No, this was Djibouti, right off the coast of Somalia.
Yeah, that's a great place.
Mark Baher had to get a chest tube while we were there. And anyways, a great, great deployment. We didn't get to kill anybody. But no, that's kind of how you measure.
A Green Beret laments. Yeah.
But we killed every other mammal
in
the entire country. Everything. We shot baboons. We shot camels. We shot, you name it, we killed it. Goats. I don't know how many goats I got one night with the bear. I don't know. I erased the entire herd.
Is that where the
Baboon Alley.
Baboon Alley. I'm not sharing it here.
I've already told a little bit. I've heard. Love to hear him tell it in entirety one day.
Go to my Patreon, and we do story time with Carl once a month. And one of them, we talk about Baboon Alley.
I'll pay taxes for that.
I like that. I appreciate it, taxpayers.
That's right, Opie. We appreciate you, brother. Fitting my ammo bill. Hell yeah. Yeah, we're looking forward to Mountain. I know it's so good. We're looking forward to Mountain Readiness. It's going to be a good time. So if you guys haven't got your tickets yet, what are you waiting on? Get on there and get them.
Jump up on it.
Jump up on it. And I want to get them blades. We're doing the release for the Dalton at Blade Show.
Really? When is Blade Show?
Carl, are you going to be there too or what?
I'm in Normandy, France in June. Normandy.
He's going to be jumping up. And
That's pretty France. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I forgot about that. Trump's don't blade right there.
Don't bash me, because I don't have as many jumps as Sue, but I was on a Halo team like Sue, and I promised when I retired I'm never gonna parachute again. I never had to pull my reserve, you know, knock on wood. I don't want to jump anymore. But I had this old Sergeant Major show me this picture on his phone, and it's a World War II airplane, and this guy's going, jumping static line, World War II uniform. I'm like, oh, hell no. But he's like, that's me. I'm getting ready to say that's gay, but he's like, you see the guy in the door? That's my son. We both jumped in the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion, Normandy, France, and it was a great bonding experience for me and my son. And I just went, fuck, he had to say that.
Yeah, to say that.
I've done a lot of screwed up things in my life, but the only regret that I have, I only got one regret. Everything else is learning. My only regret is when the towers fell, me and Sue were deployed so much back to back to back to back. I basically missed 10 years son growing up at an age where my son needed his father there. So any chance I get where I can bond with my son. So anyway, so I asked my son, I'm like, hey, here's this picture. Sergeant Major Rick Lamb jumping with his son. Would you like to? And I couldn't even finish the sentence. He said, oh, that would be so awesome. Can we do it? So, yeah, long story short, Chris has come down, Mel's come down, Round Canopy Parachute Team, Sue's been down there. We put my son through airborne school. My son's got over 20 jumps now.
Yes. Wow.
I was just down there in March. They actually made me airborne commander for a week. But I jump mastered the World War II airplane. I actually jumped with my bad knee. So I'm current. And they are going to let me jump master my own. They're going to have 22 of those World War II era correct airplanes, C-47s.
Yeah.
They're going to have one B-17 and two full squadrons of P-51 Mustangs.
Really?
And
that's going to look so freaking
we're
cool.
Doing nine jumps. I'm only doing one. My son might do two. But I am going to get the jump master and put Emery. And my son's going to be number one jumper in the door. And then Emery, and then Chris Smith, another one of our tactical rifleman guys. Kyle Lamb from Viking Tactical.
Really? He's going on too?
He's hopefully going to be on my plane. I've got a whole bunch of tactical rifleman family that are going to be there. David Duanes, his daughter Ashley, put them through airborne school. Sue remembers them from the Patreon course. You guys
were in Texas?
Yeah, in Texas. Ashley was the bubbly little girl. And anyways, they're parachuting. We're going to have us a whole plane. It's going to be awesome. And this is the last big hoorah because it's 80th anniversary. That he's got Dane Bramman.
Sue, are you dead?
Sue, are you alive? I'm just jealous because I was supposed to be down there training up for it in March, and I couldn't get my doctor, my general practitioner, to clear me hot to jump again. So I called Carl and I said, hey, you're my 18 Delta. Call my doctor and tell him that I'm good to go. And Carl's like, I don't think you should do it, sir. So
please don't die on me, dude. You understand how much trouble I we'll get into.
I might as well be dead. I got this little alien
from Roswell that will just never let me live it down if you die.
Yeah, so I guess I'll have to swim the fucking channel and fucking meet you over there. And you know, I will.
Sorry, I don't remember what it is. He's going to do a 80-mile road march from Normandy Beach to, I think, St. Mary Glees, to where the 101st was.
St. Mary Glees.
He's going to road march it. I guess there's like hundreds of people doing that. I think I got it easy. Gravity does all the work.
Yeah.
I've got to jump up 6 inches, out 36 inches, and I'm done. I land. Somebody else. A couple people come up. They'll swim my leg.
Just swim my leg.
I get to ride back and over. I'm good.
I think it's awesome that the doctor
cleared Carl. You know, that's what I think is awesome. How the doc cleared your knee for that jump. That's amazing.
I doubt my orthosurgeon.
I was gonna say, I doubt he had.
See, that's why.
Cool part about being an Angel Commander, you can blend off on any paper if you want. No, I wasn't gonna jump. They even told me, they're like, "Hey, man, we'll take care of the paperwork." Because technically, I'm not supposed to jump till after June. But I was like, I'm the airborne commander. And what I don't want to have happen is me get over there and they've got 3,000 jumpers signed up. So you figure probably a third of those are jump masters. They all want a jump master.
Yeah.
And I'm going to want to pull rank, you know, throw names around so that I can get the jump master, my half of the airplane with all of our guys on it. And I thought about that. That's not really fair to guys that put in the work and everything. So I was like, you know, honey, I want to do the right thing. And
I want to jump.
But Dane is like, no. But I'm like, I got my professional motocross.
He does. Braces. Like in the beginning of Forrest Gump when he still got his leg braces. That's Carl when he jumps. If he has to take off running when he lands, he's in a world.
So I stretched out the knee real. I landed soft as a baby. Immediately called Dane. I'm fine. Relax. I landed nice and soft. And I'm pretty well done after Normandy. I got to get Nick into skydiving then, so he can go jump with Emery.
Yeah.
And he can leave me and Sue on the ground watching him.
I'm going to be skydiving again someday. Yeah.
Yeah. Sue, what you need to do is when you're 100, you need to do a tandem with somebody and talk about how awesome you are or were. But you don't need to be skydiving anymore. Do you have a hole in your skull?
Another one.
You understand? You have a hole in your skull. You go head down when you're skydiving, and you understand the way you start turning. Your brain is going to roll around inside that skull, and it's going to start like collecting residue, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow until it hits the size of a pea, and it's going to fly out your ear or something, you know. But you do not need to be jumping, Sue. You don't
grow the size of a pea.
Yeah, Sue, you do not
like making a pearl in there.
Yeah,
one grain of sand got in.
That was brutal. It's a brutal ass podcast, man. Yeah. That's harsh. No pink mist for us. Just nonstop badgering, beating. This rough. No Sue stoned, it looks like, from what I see over in the comments here.
Good looking cup.
That is awesome. That's all right. You're slacking over there. But now I heard you guys were picking fruit out at RCPT. I heard that.
Picking fruit?
Yeah, I heard there were jumpers and trees.
They put a couple people in the trees the first week. not my week. Not
your week. Okay.
My week. I was in charge of week two, and this was weird. That they normally do it all over 5 days.
Yeah.
You guys have come down. You've done it before with it, but this time it's like this is everybody wants to go jump into Normandy because the 75th jump was such a big party.
Oh, man.
You had all the heads of state. You had Trump there. You had everybody. Yeah. Well, now all these World War II vets. They're all dying off. Like the 80th, this is the last
big party. The last guy from the USS Arizona just passed away. So now no crew is alive from that boat.
So
or ship,
everybody wants to go to this party. So they asked me, like, hey, will you be in charge of week two? I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. I don't know what that means. Week one was basically let's set everything up. And then week three is for all the extra strap hangers. But I show up week two, Black Rifle Coffee's there. All the Horse Soldier guys from ODA, 595, Mark Nooch, all the guys from the movie 12 Strong, there were five of them there. Bunch of people from Horse Soldier Bourbon there, a bunch of guys from A15 there, Scotty Neal, these other guys, all these other SF guys. But one thing that was cool was there's like, they're like, hey, man, those are the guys from Desert One. I'm like, no, you get that wrong. Desert One was, that was the failed hostage rescue in Iran.
Carter was in office.
Yeah, Carter, Desert One. Yeah. They're like, no, those are the guys from Desert One. I look over, there's seven guys, five, six, seven of these guys. They're 70 years old, washboard abs. They're all like 6'5 and stuff. I'm walking up there. I'm like, they're like, yeah, he called, nice to meet you. Heard a lot about you. I'm like, sir, you know, these guys are 70. But you look at them and they're like, yeah, we're going to go jump into Normandy with you. And I'm like, one, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm looking up at these guys the whole time. And I actually said it to a couple. I'm like, you're why God made 300 Win Mag.
Yeah. Like, what?
I don't have a problem punching a bigger guy in the throat. But you, I'm like, nah, I'm going to take you at about 300-400 meters. You know, I'm like, I'm going to put you down. And he's like, I get told that a lot. But it's just that caliber of guys. These are some of the original Delta Force operators. And the only mission they did was a failed rescue. They never got the, you know, they never got to get on the helicopters. But just meeting these guys, and one night they actually shared their story.
Really?
And then we had Horse Soldier Bourbon guys there talking the actual graduation dinner. And it was, and you know, I had Kyle Lamb there. And if those of you that don't know Kyle Lamb, if you've ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down, he's one of the Delta guys that, you know, pitching the frag grenade in the second mm-hmm. story window. These guys are just American legends, or people that I looked up to when I was a young Green Beret. And now they're hanging out with me parachuting. And I'm like, I'm talking to their wives while these guys are out there jumping. Because remember, I wasn't going to jump. I'm talking to all these little trophy wives sitting there. And I'm like, they're as dumb as I am, aren't they? And these wives are all like, uh-huh. Yep, they're dumb. I got no idea why they're doing this. And I'm like, because you can't take it out of them. They yep. they miss it. So
Ma's in the house.
Yeah, so I said, look, I'm like, yeah, I'm not allowed to jump, but the last day, last plane, last lift, last pass, I'm jumping, so I'm current. So I'm good. I landed soft. I didn't die.
By the way, the class at Mountain Readiness, I want to stick my nephew in it with you guys.
I just need his full name for a certificate, and I need his T-shirt size.
I'll get you. He's 18 years old.
Okay. Is he mature enough?
Yes. He's okay. He just bought his first gun. He just bought a Henry 357 lever gun.
I want to take this class. It's his shirt. Why?
What are you doing?
Pontoon boat.
Pontoon boat.
Pontoon boat. So me and Chris were talking, and you know, survival, right? Yeah. You know, survival's his thing. We're talking, and the one on the left should really be lactated ringers, and the one on the right should be D5W. So then, in a survival situation, Mel, I'm running low.
Let me tap a bag. I need to tap a bag.
But
I did just come
damn up. Damn it, woman, I paid for those.
I right? did just come up with about 20 bags of ringers.
Did you?
And saline. You need some?
I do not. I have a rather robust G-based hospital in my attic.
Yeah,
cool part is patrons. I have patrons that are dentists. I mentioned to some of my patrons at Patreon that one of my biggest regrets is when the SF did away with the SF dental kits. We had M5A bag that had everything. It had a little battery powered drill, hook the battery on dental bits, and it was set up to do everything, even root canals.
Really?
And the reality is the SF medic doesn't need that in the field until he does. So they took it away, and I regretted turning that in because I know another medic that just said, I lost it. And that allowed him to keep it. And they just said, okay, no big deal. You lost it. No big deal. It's only like $10,000 bag. No, because that's the Army mentality.
Oh, yeah.
So my thing was, you know, that's one thing I regretted. So anyways, I have a dentist that he's like, well, Carl, what tools are you looking for? And I'm like, because when we say tools, you understand, you know, you got your incisors and molars and everything, but each one of those types of teeth, top and bottom, they have a different footprint, basically. So dentists have a different set of pliers for certain teeth. And like one will be this is a 16, and you use this, and then you've got elevators, and you've got all this other stuff. So I told him, like, I'll be honest with you, if you could spare them, I need a whole set. And I'm like, or at least the ones you think that I'm going to need the most. He sent me the entire set. He sent me the Carpujets with the xylocaine for injecting the buccal nerve. I'm not saying you guys need that, but if you have the and everybody at home should have what's called IRM. That's for temporary filling. You lose a filling, you break a tooth. You can get it at Walgreens. IRM is a temporary filling. Think of it as JB Weld for a tooth. By the way, public service announcement, do not ever put JB Weld on a tooth. It's exothermic. And my dog's wanting to come in. But anyways, everybody should have IRM. But if you have a dentist in your extended group, your auxiliary, your neighbors that you trust, local nurses, whatever. But if you can get a dentist on your team, you having those set of tools and everything ahead of time, now it is not wasted space in your attic. It's really not at all.
I got a pair of dentists.
I agree with that.
All I have is some of the voices in my head.
120 would you like some dentistry tool.
What'd you say to start with?
Pink mess.
I said I have that all in one dentistry tool. It's a 20-ounce East Wing. Works great. Never miss.
I thought you were gonna say Leatherman tool for just a minute there.
But 20. That's in the other pocket.
So I was one of my first deployments to Jordan. I was fifth group, right? So we're over there, and one of my guys lost a filling. So anyways, I brought out the SF dental kit, and I'm showing off, right? I laid everything out, and all I did was I mixed up IRM.
Yeah.
And I ground it out a little bit, cleaned it up a little bit with the drill, and I put a temporary filling in it. But before I got done, word spread like wildfire.
That there's a dentist?
A Jordanian, that there was a dentist on base.
Yeah.
I had booger eaters lined up as far as I could see. So I told the team sergeant and the team leader, I'm like, look, I only have 10 Carpujets. And if one of you guys actually breaks a tooth or something, you can use 3 or 4 of these things on a single patient. So I really don't want to waste them on indigenous forces. I won't call them because that would be wrong.
That would be terrible.
All right. So indigenous forces. Indigenous
partner forces.
Does that sound better than booger eaters? I'm pretty sure. All right. So anyways, so he's like, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, I've got aspirin. You give them afterwards. But the reality is in order to cut down the pain, you can numb it or you can cut down the duration. So what you do is instead of drilling, you just pull the tooth. And the faster you can pull it, the better.
Yeah, less pain.
So and
Carl's that are yanking
so
teeth.
We started yanking teeth to the point to where I started doing triage. Well, I had my weapons guy, junior weapons guy.
He's actually pulling the teeth.
All right, that tooth right there, you're going to use this pair of pliers and let me know if the tooth breaks. Well, like the second one, I watched him the first one, and he did it good. He got that tooth on his rotty, nasty chunk of feet inside this guy's mouth.
Chunk of feet?
Smelt like feet, right? But then the second guy, he broke the tooth. And I'm like, dude, hey, take 2 aspirin. You'll be fine.
Right? Yeah.
Big old broken tooth in there. And then he broke the tooth of the third guy.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm getting ready to, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? But then the fourth guy, I went back to me doing them. And the problem was
the teeth are so bad.
The teeth were that rotted out.
Ugh.
Because, and we take it for granted here in the U.S. because we have, and I can't stress enough, preventive maintenance, preventive medicine, and hygiene. It is so important, especially in a grid down scenario.
Yep.
You've got to stay up on your preventive medicine and personal hygiene. But these other countries, they let it go so bad because they don't have medical care. They just don't have it, and it's tragic. We take it for granted. So and the only reason why I'm harping on this is, one, it's funny.
It is
but
funny.
But two, for all your viewers out there, you know, everybody said, well, Carl, you were a sniper. Tell us sniper stuff. Now, I'm here to tell you preventive medicine and personal hygiene, especially dental, you've got to take care of your teeth because you have a guy that gets a real bad toothache. You ever have a real bad toothache? Have you ever had a really, really bad toothache? Yeah, you get focused on one thing and one thing only. One thing and one thing only.
Apparently, from the viewers, your dentist stories are much better than your gynecological stories.
Man, Susan. Susan Bridges, she's brilliant, yeah, too. That's right in.
What?
No, he made a necklace out of it.
One of the people in the studio audience was asking if I had a ammo can filled with teeth. No, I do not condone the taking of biomaterial for war trophies.
From the guy with a collection of skulls, none of which you collected from the field. They're all for... when the military was in the military, they used them to show you the angles of how to shoot. And that's what they were for.
Yeah,
they were
demos. Yeah. Some people collect stamps.
I'm not knocking your
human skulls. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't see a problem with
it. You see my two new ones? I got an adolescent, but I also got a neonate.
Really?
And it's creepy, dude. This thing looks like a frog. Like the fontanelles are not closed yet.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah, not on a live stream. It's kind of cool, though, dude. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's a little too big to be a frog, but.
But
not much too big to be a frog.
Oh my God!
It's another one of God's creatures. That's all.
Yeah. How much money you get from?
I collect prayer beads. nothing. You save casings. You take a casing and you rub it in a little bit of biohazard, and you put it up on the shelf in the man room, and that basically it looks a little rusty, but you know
exactly
where that casing's been. Yeah. You know where that's casing. But no, the whole, you see in all the old Vietnam movies, people talking about cutting off ears and stuff like that. Guys, you understand that's wrong on so many levels. It really is. So, no, I don't know anybody that's ever done that. I don't own it at all. No, prayer beads, things like that. It's not like they need them anymore, you know.
They're getting their virgins.
They're getting their virgins. Yes, Abdallah, you will get your virgins. The problem, though, is they're all dudes.
Yeah.
They're, every one of your virgins is a dude. A dude.
Fucking Thai lady boy.
Smell like feet.
He's really selling his dating service, isn't he, T?
Cool part is my wife said I'm not allowed to talk about politics tonight, so I'm not.
Was that just because I'm here?
No. It's just because I'm on a live stream and I've been counseled before. It's okay.
That's right. We do that constantly in our life.
I know you do. So I'm a bearer of gifts. And you guys know Sue was talking about the patch, how we added the tomahawk in honor of all the survival guys that we've added to our family. And I didn't go with black. I have some that are black from my fifth group brothers, but this is kind of like a
that's nice.
That's sexy. Dude,
that is awesome. That's a
Velcro.
Really
he can slap it on that patch. And because everybody's big on optics for their pistols and everything. And I'm big on that also. The problem though is optics on pistols, the batteries go dead and everything. So the part that people are forgetting is tritium backup sights. And more important than the rear sight, that front sight, you've got to be able to see the front sight. So I used to push tritium iron sights for pistols made by Trijicon. They're called Trijicon HDs. They're expensive. Mm-hmm. They got a big green dot in the front or big orange dot. And in the center is a small glass ampule with the radioactive isotope pyridium. You got about a 30-year half-life. Yeah. I found another company called Night Fusion, and they are Night Fusion. They are identical, and I can't tell them apart from the Trijicon ones. So, anyways, I know you got a couple Glocks, and
you're giving me this?
I'm giving it to you.
Oh, you are the man.
Thank
you, sir.
Well, you are welcome.
I appreciate that. Yeah,
so, that's slap awesome. It on one of your blocks.
No, I'm gonna put it on us too. The only thing
Carl ever gave me was a bad counseling statement. So I don't know.
I thought we were going to talk about feral disease or something like that. Never mind. Yeah. Mine was in the gutter.
Dude, that's not exactly correct. I remember giving you several shots of Rocephin after some ill refute areas that you visited. And let's see, what else? I always give you a hard time.
Tell them how you used me as bait in the battle in the job. That was a good one. Yeah, I was the one running across the street. Yeah,
I mean, I was what a friend. You got a friend in me.
You don't want to hear that. They don't. All right, you guys put it in the comment section. Do you want to hear? It's a boring story. I ended up getting a bronze star.
It's hilarious, yeah.
And Sue ended up getting a dental appointment.
Sue did all the work, and Carl got a bronze star for it. Rank has its privileges, lads. Rank has its privileges.
I think he was the same rank I was. He was, yeah. Except he was in charge of the herd guys.
Oh,
that's right. You were still an E7. That's right. Sue was the E7. It don't matter. PV7. Private 7th class, Sulu. They don't want to hear that.
Do the latrine.
Not very good. It's not.
So then when the guy hears that, he says his son is in a recon platoon. He wants to go 18 Delta. How tough is the transition?
All right. I actually was in a recon platoon. Back in the day, you could not.
And they all want to hear it.
They all want to hear it. Yeah. Damn. So back in the day, I joined the Army in 1985, guys. I'm 56 years old. I'm old. Most of the voices in my head are still in their early 20s.
They still talk like this, yeah? Yep.
So I wanted to be a good Green Beret, but you couldn't go Special Forces till you were E5. So even though my scores were high enough, they're like, you can do anything you want in the Army. I said, I want to go infantry. And they're like, what? Why would you want to do that? And it's because I wanted to be tactically sound. I wanted to be a good Green Beret. So I actually started in the infantry, was never in a line company. I got immediately drafted out of basic into a recon platoon, a scout, and did that in the 2nd Infantry Division. I did the 2nd ID sniper school, went to the 101st. And I was actually in a line company there for about a week and a half. And the recon platoon heard I was there. One of my old squad leaders from Korea said, hey, you need to grab this guy. So I got drafted into the recon platoon. Best thing ever happened to me. So for your son being in a recon platoon, tell him I said thank you for your service. That is where I learned more about tactics and moving with stealth in the woods and a lot about sniper operations, being tactically sound. I learned all that in the infantry and a recon platoon. So
he's Marine recon.
Same thing, basically. Just he gets stuck living on a boat for 6 months out of the year while his wife's sleeping around on him. No big deal. All right. Stay single, guys. If you're a Marine, stay single. All right. I always wanted to be a Green Beret. I started dating my wife right after Desert Storm. And every time I would drive by 5th Special Forces Group's area, I'd be driving down to my barracks and my wife riding with my girlfriend at the time. I'd always grab my junk when I drove by 5th Group. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, someday I'm going to be a Green Beret. And she said, quit talking about it. Go do it. And I was like, I'm not ready. She's like, quit talking about it, go do it. And I was scared. I was scared. I didn't think I was good enough. I always want to get better. I always want to get better. So anyways, my wife, and I'm worthless without my wife, sincerely. I would not have done 80% of the stuff I've done in my life without my wife. So she pushed me. She's like, go to selection, go do this. So anyways, we go to selection. And that your question, I wanted to be a weapons guy, right? I'd already been to 3 sniper schools. I was in a recon platoon. I already had my combat infantryman's badge. I already had my expert infantryman's badge. I already had my ranger tab. I'm like, I'm going to make a great weapons sergeant in special forces. I went to selection and they said, no, you're way too smart to be a Bravo. You're going to be a medic. I'm like, I don't want to be a medic. They're like, well, right now, if you fail out of being a medic, you can go needs of the army. And right now that's Korea. Ooh. I just got married. So I was like, medics lead the way.
Medics lead the way.
Medics lead the way. So looking back, again, God works in mysterious ways in my life. That was like the best thing that could have happened to me because, one, I hate not being able to help. So if you come up on a car wreck or whatever, mm-hmm. or you're there and one of your buddies gets shot, unless your medic has done really good cross training, you're basically like, what do I do? What do I do? So I learned, and I'm sitting there beginning a class, and everybody, they double booked my class by mistake. There's supposed to be 98 students in it. They double booked it. So there's almost 200 people show up day one. Mm. And they're like, we only got room for 98. Toughest PT test you've ever taken in your life.
Really?
They're going through everybody's physical exams. And the date on this urinalysis is wrong. Or we can't read that on your EKG. You got to go get another one done at the hospital. Oh, by the way, that's going to push you back 3 months.
They were looking for any excuse.
Any excuse at all. So anyways, I pass everything. I get in the class and I get in there and all these guys are reading paramedic magazine and nursing journals. And there's like me and one other guy. And I'm like reading over his shoulder, reading Guns and Ammo. And everybody else are like regular army medics and I'm like, I don't stand a chance. I don't stand it. You got to have a 70-75% GPA to pass. And the entire time I've got like a 75, 76, 77, 75. Shit. So I remember I said there was 198 of us the first day. We start taking all the tests and all these nurses and medics were getting higher scores than me. But I learned the anatomy and physiology. I learned all the pharmacology. I learned everything because of my wife. My wife, while I was in class, would be taking 3x5 cards, and she'd be making me study notes. I'd go to PT 5:30 in the morning. I'd get home at 5:30 in the afternoon. My wife would have dinner for me. She'd give me my cards, and off I would go to study group, me and like these 9 other guys. We would get together at night, 7 p.m. to about 10 p.m., studying. And then I'd get up the next morning, 5:30 p.m. My wife would wake me up and she'd push me back out the door. And sincerely, I would not have made it without my blushing bride. Not a chance in hell. You go from there to Fort Bragg. Right? Now, understand there was only like 20 of us, 20 out of the 190-something, 20 of us went to Fort Bragg. We get to Fort Bragg for part 2, med lab. Which is all live tissue, medical training, everything else. And because when you started doing your trauma clinics, a lot of those paramedics, a lot of those nurses, a lot of those army medics were not good under stress. And what I found was I'm good under stress. I like the taste of blood and trauma doesn't bother me because I had a Green Beret. I had an old Vietnam medic, 18 Delta, one of my instructors, Mr. Duffy. I remember remember his name forever. On his aid bag, it said GAPT, goats are people too. And I would write that on all of my aid bags. And he's like, you treat them as though they are a guy on your aid team. You treat them as though their family depends on you. and you will pass this course. And I learned so much from Mr. Duffy, but one of the things he taught me was the operator feels no pain. And what that basically boils down, and I'm not being cavalier, but if you've got two patients, bomb goes off and the two guys are laying there, he's screaming at the top of his lungs. I don't worry about him. If he's screaming, it means he's got a good airway.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about
him. He's conscious.
I have to worry about the guy laying right next to him that's not making any noise. And so anyways, I got the Fort Bragg, 22 of us. And we linked up with all the guys that had recycled back from the class ahead of us. And so we're back up to about 40 people. And from there, med lab, I lost almost all my buddies. I don't remember any of my buddies from the original study group. There was only me and two other guys from my study group that made it to med lab. And then from there, you go to Robin Sage and you go to all your other training. But I remember walking across the stage at Fort Bragg, getting my Green Beret. My mom flew down from New England for graduation, funny stuff. And I go outside afterwards, and a couple of my buddies are there. I hadn't seen these guys in forever. They were medics. And they're like, Carl, come on over here. And they're like, hey, hold your hand out like this. I'm like, and they're all holding their hands out. We're going to get a picture. And I'm like, are we doing gang signs? What are we doing? They're like, we're the group of the hand. I'm like, gang signs, this is gay. They're like, no, you don't understand. Only five of us made it through from the original 198. Only five of us made it through. Now, and Sue could probably recite for you the Ballad of the Green Berets. It came out in Vietnam. It was actually made the top 10 on the pop charts, believe it or not. Ballad of the Green Berets. But if you go listen to it, and the wives hate that song. They hate it.
Because they hear it too much.
They play it at all the Gold Star ceremonies when we're honoring our dead. But there's a line where 100 men will test today, but only 3 will earn the Green Beret. And if you think about it, out of 200 of us, 198, 5 of us first time through. Now, and I understand, like everything else, that Clinton and Obama and don't even get me started on the current administration, but they have continued to water down things. I got that. So, but tell your son, if he really wants to be a Green Beret, go for it. It's the best job in the world. It's better than a rock star or porn star. Without a doubt, best job on the planet, and I wouldn't have traded it for nothing. It was a lot of hard work, indeed. And a lot of people are like, well, if it takes 2 years, I don't want to miss out, But the wars that are happening right now, they're not going anywhere. They're not. And and I love my time in a recon platoon, but compare that to my time as a Green Beret and even in peacetime. You ask my wife, I was gone 7-9 months out of the year.
Yeah.
Toughest job in the Army is a Green Beret's wife, without a doubt.
And we're gonna run a couple quick ads real quick. And okay. When we come back, I want Sue to answer this question that a reader has posted. We'll be right back, y'all.
Sorry, man. I don't mean to
steal your whole life. No, you're doing your whole life. This is exactly why I got you here, man.
Pulls his cup up. You need to cheers
him. All right, I will.
Don't be too hard on me, honey. I'll try to clean up my. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Here we go. All right, Sue. So Justin's asking you a question.
All right, guys. Justin Stevens, one, he's a great American. He's attended a bunch of our classes. Justin, I don't know if you've ever met Sue LaRue. I think you have. But Justin Stevens' question, Sue, are you still in North Kakalaki, and are you going to be teaching any training blocks on tracking at the Mountain Readiness Expo event? Sue, what's your answer? Well,
he put it right.
Well, because Carl stole all the oxygen in the room, I already answered that in the comment section. I told Justin that I will be teaching a tracking class with Charlie Williams and the Pineland Resources. We'll be doing a three-day class just after the Mountain Readiness Expo, and we will be there teaching for 3 days. And then I plan on being the range safety officer or putting Emery in check for the rest of the last 2 days of the TR course. So, yes.
Well, very cool. I have had so many people sign up for that those courses now, Sue. I need a third instructor. I need another guy on the line to keep everybody safe. I really do. So glad to hear that. The Justin has signed up for high risk concealed carry, but Justin, I believe you're going to be free for the other one, so you could jump in on Sue's tracking class for sure.
Yeah. I mean, jump in there too as well. The during Mountain Readiness, Charlie Williams with Pineland Resources will be doing intro to tracking. So if you want to delve into that first section of that, of course, that's going to be going on all 3 days with Charlie. And then the 3 day class afterwards, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after the event, will be the SAR, the deep down the rabbit hole. So you get your whole feel. That's 6 straight days of tracking right there if you want to jump on it.
Well, guys, when T started talking about Mountain Readiness Expo and all the little classes, and hey, you're just doing like a 1 hour block on this and a 2 hour block on that and give people a small taste of it. And I was like, Mom, there's 50 different topics that I could cover. So I he's like, well, like what? So I made him a little list. Well, he plugged them all in. So if you, like, for example, situational awareness and combat mindset, and everybody's like, well, I'm situationally aware. It's not just about being situationally aware. We're gonna go deeper down the rabbit hole and talk about the physiological effects that happens to your body when you start to go into fight or flight and why you need to mold your training in that way. And I guarantee you come spend that hour, I think it's hour or 2 hours, I don't remember what T's got me down for, and I can customize it. From the lowest I can do is 40 minutes, but I could do a whole half day on it. But it'll change the way you dress and the daily, literally around EDC, what you put in your pockets. And so anyways, that's one of them. And what I found is like, we'll do a 5 day driving course, on-road, off-road driving. You know, you start off with high-speed vehicle dynamics, and you get into vehicle fighting, ramming and pitting. And then the last 1 or 2 days is off-road driving. We, you know, depending on the course, we might get into vehicle commandeering. You don't need to know how to hotwire cars, guys. A survival situation, if you need a vehicle, find one that's got a driver sitting behind the steering wheel. And I guarantee you they know how to unlock the steering wheel. I guarantee it. Again, I don't condone crimes and stuff like that. We're talking survival situation. But when you get in the off-road driving part of it, without having a driving track and everything there to talk about, you know, hey, this is how you do this, do that, things I found a lot of people really don't grasp is vehicle recovery. And what I mean by that is how to get somebody unstuck. Mm-hmm. A simple Mazda pulling a Honda out of a little bit of mud on the side of the highway, all the way up to a full-size truck with locking axles that's stuck in the mud. You got another vehicle with a winch. So we're going to cover basic snatch straps. We're going to cover how to properly and safely, more importantly, safely, how to use a winch. And there's so much more to it than just hitting the forward and back button. Mm-hmm. talk about using snatch blocks and the whole pulley system, all that stuff.
What kind of lines on your machine? Is it Dyneema?
I run Dyneema, which is a synthetic line, guys. It's stronger per weight than steel.
Yeah.
I don't care about it being strong because you can always go thicker. I don't care about it not binding up, though it doesn't bind up like steel does. More important is it doesn't stretch. A steel cable stretches, and if it breaks, that it'll cut you in half. It literally will swing, and it'll cut somebody in half. You don't have to worry about with Dyneema. Little teaching points like that, that's what we're going to cover. We're also going to talk about using a high-lift jack. Some people call them a farmer's jack. But a high-lift jack is a great, great tool for off-road recovery, but it can also be very, very dangerous if you don't use it correctly. And you can use it as a winch. You can use it for doing all kinds of great things. So again, that's only a 2-hour class, but I'm going to cover a lot. But for example, I'm bringing 3 high lift jacks with me. So if you're attending the class and we're going to have them there in small groups, I'm gonna break them up into groups, and you're gonna be doing hands-on. You're gonna be doing it. It's not just lecture, me showing. Yeah. Now, if I've got 100 people standing there,
it'll be demonstration.
Yeah, it'll be mostly demonstration. We're also what I've learned is Green Berets. I'm pointing at you, Sue. Green Berets are not allowed to teach their wives how to shoot.
Nobody's allowed to teach your wife how to shoot.
Yeah, so I'll agree with that. So, and so when T's
you know how to teach your wife anything.
T's is like, Carl, what else you want to do? What else? I said I would like to do a AR carbine for women only class, and here's why: because there's a lot of guys out there that home defense. You know, they've got an AR rifle for everyone on the hill. Their son's got an AR. Their wife's got an AR. And that's awesome. I want everybody to be shooting the same caliber, the same family of weapons. That way, muscle memory, exchanging parts, magazines, everything's the same. I support that 100%. But just because he says, honey, this is your rifle, this is how you do this, and you do this, and why can't you do this? No husbands are allowed at this class. All right. So if you're bringing your wife to Mountain Readiness Expo and your wife wants to know which thing she can sign up for, if the wives don't want their husbands yelling at them, you understand I am not starting the class until all the husbands leave the roped area. They're not allowed to even stand out.
Guys, this is to your benefit because it won't be you yelling at your wife. It'll be him.
Yeah. Now, it's not live ammo. I've got probably 500 worth of dummy rounds I'm going to have there. Have your wife bring her AR. Bring her AR, a couple empty magazines, and I will show her how best to support you. And then once she's got the mechanics down, speed reloads, tac mag reloads, everything, dealing with jams, double feeds, all that stuff. Once she's got that down, then you can take her to a professional class. For example, a couple days later, we're going to do tactical rifleman pistol carbine course, combat pistol carbine. But you can bring them to any great instructor. There's all kinds of good instructors out there. But I know other instructors that specifically do that. They do classes just for women. And I was like, why would you do that? Because I know other guys that do couples courses. A intro course should not be a couples course. Couples courses are for once they're both comfortable with the firearm. So anyways, T's, I appreciate you letting me teach that
question course. For you on the women's only course.
Yes, women's only.
We've got someone that wants to put a 10-year-old daughter into that class.
Again, no live ammo. If you honestly feel your daughter is mature enough to grasp what I'm teaching. Now, understand I'm not talking profanity and people yelling, stuff like that. It's going to be me and Emery Morganson, professional instructors. We're not dropping people for push-ups and yelling and throwing smoke grenades, nothing like that.
So this is a boring class.
Not boring. Are any of my classes never boring? I've been accused of a lot of things.
The entertainment factor is high.
I've never been accused of being
boring. I wanted to show you guys something cool that Carl showed me. I've never seen this before.
Okay.
So
that's a PMAG.
That's a PMAG with 9mm rounds.
It's a 5.56 PMAG that's got a different follower in it. It's made by Mean Industries.
Mean Industries.
And what it's for is, let's say you want to go to an indoor range or shootouts or somewhere like that that does not allow you to run rifle ammo in it. There's actually a bunch of government agencies that went the means with that problem. They literally, there's a lot of places, departments that their agents weren't getting enough training because their training facilities were built to be pistol only.
Ah.
So you can get a 9mm upper, and you can do 40, you can do 45, whatever. Drop it onto your regular AR. Now you've got the same stock, same sling, same optic, same trigger, same muscle memory. That's what's important to me is your muscle memory, beer can grip of that magazine, it stays the same.
You get a 45 AR with a can on it?
Yeah, right? Just if you're going to buy a suppressor, buy a 45 suppressor because that allows you to run
both
40 cal, 9mm through it.
38 super.
Anyways, Mean Industries, I'm actually getting ready to film a video tonight with my son after the live stream. We're going to be shooting thermals, but I have a 9mm upper that has the thermal on it. And I was jamming these mags, and Chris was like, "That won't fit in there."
Well, he hands Mel two mags and two boxes of ammo, and I'm like, "Those aren't going in there." He's like, "Yeah, they will. Trust me." I was like, "All right,
no shit, no shit, they fit."
I thought I caught you. I thought I was gonna be able to bust you with with two boxes of 9mm and an AR mag in your hand. I was gonna be like, "Come on, you didn't just give me this, did you?"
No,
I heard that up softball style. I'm gonna spike that one.
How'd that spike work out
for you? It didn't. It was a pump fake. I landed on my face. So you got anything you want to say? I know Carl's been keeping you in
the corner. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a camera hog. I only get invited on like every couple of months, so I got.
I'll bring you in more.
Honestly, my schedule's crazy.
See, then who's fault?
No. I like being a guest.
Yes,
a special guest, special needs.
Special. It's hockey helmets right back there.
You're special.
You're busy.
Great to hear.
I like hearing Sue's side of the Najaf story. So, Sue, why don't you start it off with, I've got my guys in this building in Najaf, the old city in Najaf. The year is 2004. The second battle of Fallujah hasn't happened yet. Makata al-Sadr has taken over the Imam Ali Mosque. In the city of Najaf, the Imam Ali Mosque Cemetery is the largest Shia cemetery in the world. I had just got done doing sniper ops out in the cemetery. I'd gotten three guys in the dark, 461 meters the night prior. And first one was a headshot, by the way. But then the next day, I moved my guys into the old city. I'm on the second story. I got CAV snipers on the first floor. I got SEAL snipers on the third floor. My guys are on the second floor. And the reason why they brought us in is because there's this enemy sniper. They always say he's Chechen. In other words, if you're a good marksman in the Middle East, they say you're Chechen. But they say there's a Chechen sniper across the way. We got this. It's about 400 meters away. There's a parking garage and a couple other buildings. There's a soccer field out in front of us. And we get called there because the SEALs have been getting shot at. This guy's got a SVD, which is 7.62 by 54 rimmed. And he's using armor-piercing rounds. And his bullets will go through one wall, but not two walls. So he has shot a SEAL helmet. He shot a jacket that a SEAL had hanging over a chair to dry out. And shot something else. No Americans have been shot yet, but they're like, we got to get this guy. We got to get this guy bad. So they call in the SIF snipers. I bring my snipers in. They would get in there. I got everybody set up. And then all of a sudden, in comes, I got my guys set up every loophole. We've got two loopholes. So if there's a hole in that wall that's this
way. Right, you're looking out.
We're in a hole in that wall, and we're in the room behind it because this guy's bullets won't go through two walls. So I've got a Barrett set up, I've got two Mark 12 SPRs, and I've got four SR25s all loophole through, ready to go. And all of a sudden, up comes two sucks to be me LaRue with a couple Jundies that smell like feet. They're Kurds. And he's like, Carl, I brought my M24, man. Hey, can you use me? Can you use me? And I'm like, no. So anyways, I'm like, you know, Sue, no, I don't have any holes. I don't have any holes for you. Yeah. So he's like, well, can I do anything? I'm like, yeah, dude, go outside, draw fire. So I meant it as a joke. So anyway, Sue goes, I was like, Roger. I said, all right, I'll do it. So Sue goes outside.
First I grab one of his radios from his team so they can hear me. I grabbed one of his radios. We were using
one of my radios. All my guys are wearing Desert Tiger Stripe and Punisher baseball caps.
Oh, shit.
Because we weren't supposed to be briefing anybody. We're supposed to go do sniper ops. Yeah, I had to brief generals like every 2 days.
Oh,
crazy. And the sergeant major's like, don't worry about it, Carl. I'll just tell him you're a SEAL. I'm like, all right.
Okay, tell him you're a SEAL.
Anyways, Sue leaves the building, and I forget Sue's even out there. I crack open an MRE, and I'm eating this MRE, and then Sue, tell me your side of it. Sue's left the building.
So yeah,
come on, Sue.
I took my two Jundies, my two Kurds with me. And I went up the block. I'd already been around the city. I've already released the rest of my recon team into they've changed in civilian clothes, and they're all Kurds, and they've kind of mingled with the Mahdi militia and the protesters out there. And I'm the only reason I went over the only building in the Jaff that's six stories high where Carl was at. The only reason I went over there is because, you know, I was going to get some sniper stuff on there too, but Carl had already beat me to it. So I was a little upset about that. So I put my sniper rifle away. I grabbed the two Jundies. I grabbed his radio, and I'd already been around this urban area and close to one of the Masadra or the schoolhouse that's close to the mosque that everybody was wanting us to take. And that parking garage. Well, all these Mahdi militia snipers, they have every loophole facing that building, and they're like Carl said, they're trying to shoot into every loophole that those guys have set up. And so I figured, well, I already briefed one of Carl's men, and I went out there. I went up about four blocks, and then I said, okay, I know that this street, this two-story or this two-lane road is wide open. If I cross the road and I do it at a fast walk, and Carl and I both were sniper instructors, we know that, you know, I'm up, he sees me, I'm down type thing. I knew that the enemy would see me crossing the street. By the time they got onto their scopes, I would be across the street. So I called the guys back and I said, are you ready? Are you ready for this? And the guy said, yeah, yeah. And he passed the word out and everything. And I went across.
So I get from Sue asking, hey, are you guys ready? I'm eating an MRE. I'm like, are we ready? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, we're good, man. Go ahead. And I went back to eating.
I had no idea
what Sue was doing. No idea. Go ahead, sir.
The first time I crossed the street, there's about eight shots ring out behind me. They all hit this, you know, hit the cobblestones and the asphalt behind me, and that building just erupted in gunfire. Just one shot, just like you could hear almost just one shot, but every sniper in that building fired. Right? Well,
I'm just hitting my MRE, and then all of a sudden, all my guys. Everybody shot at the exact same time. Kaboom! My Barrett goes off. All my guns. Boom! It was like the side of the, like a broadside from the USS Arizona.
Yeah.
Boom! And I'm like, what the fuck was that?
What the fuck was that?
I get back on the radio and I said, what was that? And they said, that was great. Can you do it again? I was like, again.
I don't know what you did, but do it again.
I thought I just weren't ready. So I went up another two blocks, and of course I got my Jundies pulling security for me, and we work our way up another two blocks, and we're going through little alleyways and, you know, through pigeon coops and all kinds of stuff. And I work my way back out to that street again. And this time I'm actually two blocks closer to the enemy, right? I got on the radio. I said, okay, are you guys ready? I said, wait a minute. And I said, I waited for about 5 seconds. I said, what about now? And they said, okay, we're ready. So I went out and I picked up my pace a little bit, and I kind of jogged across the street this time. And same thing, you know, enemy fired at me, and there's like eight or nine shots going behind me. And that whole building erupts again, just one report, but several rifles just boom, you know, every loophole opened up. They're like, that was great. Can you do it again? I said, okay, we're pushing our luck on this one, you know. So this time I come back four blocks, right? And then I was closer to our guys, and I did it again. And this time I just kind of ran across the road. And, of course, all these guys fired at me. It was boom again. And they said, hey, let's do it one more time. I was like, no, that's it. That's enough. We got back to our colonel, you know, our battalion commander. And after that battle, I had to go back to Baghdad, and I had to go to the priest. I had to sit down with a priest for a couple hours. I had to go to the psych. I had to get a psych evaluation. Everybody thought I was trying to commit suicide, but Carl and I knew after all the
forces on it. I had a full-bird colonel call me and say, did you really use Sulu for bait? And I'm like, sir, I don't know what that. But he said, hey, in Fallujah, because I was in Fallujah. He's like, in Fallujah, did you really use Sulu for bait? And I'm like, no, sir, no, I did not. But then it clicked later. I'm like, damn, down in the Jaff, though.
Down in the Jaff.
But yeah, I said I wasn't one of the guys behind the gun, so I had no idea what Sue was doing. I didn't hear about any of this until months later, that this knucklehead was drawing fire for my guys. And my guys are like, I'm like, what the hell was that? They're like, tell Sue to do it again. And I'm like, hey, Sue, do it again. I had no idea that this. Sue, you wonder why, dude. And if I ever write my book, it's going to be called War Stories of Comedy.
Here's what we need to do. We need to let me come up here and just turn on the audio recorder. You talk. Let me write it.
But I've already done it. No, my patrons get story time with Carl every month. So my son has taken all these and typed them out.
Nice.
I need to edit it and I'm done. The reality is I need to do it. It probably won't get done. But.
Oh, it will, because we're going to use my editor. I'm going to make you do it.
Each chapter is its own little short story about other things that people have done. And if you understand, I don't even get a chapter in my own book. I don't even get my own chapter. There is one chapter that is called Break Glass in Time of War, Sue LaRue. You understand? Sue gets his own chapter in my book. I don't even get my own chapter in my own book. Sue gets. And the only reason why I'm saying that is, Sue, you know I love you. Two, you're a dumbass. But three, sincerely from my heart, guys, you are an American icon. And you got to take care of yourself, man, because until we get the bronze bust of Sue LaRue, and it'll have to have your nipple rings and everything.
For sure.
All right, for sure. You've got to take care of yourself, dude. Because, guys, you hanging out in the chat room every week here, you don't realize how much of an American legend Sue LaRue is. He really is. The only reason why he doesn't have a stack of silver stars is because they were trying to decide how they could bust him and take rank from him for being that awesome. It really is. So, anyways, hats off to you, Sue. You freaking dumbass.
I appreciate it, but I've unlike everybody else in the Army, I was just having fun. And there will be no nipples on my bust, because I'm the one that believes that that, like circumcision, men's nipples should be removed. That would just eliminate half the problems we're facing today.
I do. I agree with you. I was 18 Delta, remember? So next time you come up to film videos, I think that would make a really cool YouTube video. What do you guys think in the chat room? We'll do a YouTube video, me, and I'll use Xylocaine, dude. I'll use Xylocaine, but I will cut your nipples off on video. And dude, we'll get them. Like, you can pin them on your hat or something, whatever.
But I think we should donate them to a woman instead of a mastectomy.
Yeah?
Because they tattoo them on usually.
We could do that.
We could donate
some. Right? You could donate them.
I don't know a chick that wants hairy nipples. You know. There might be one out there.
Raise your hand, Chris. Raise your hand. The nipples, isn't it true that the nipple on a man is the easy button? Every time you tell your wife no, she takes and plays with the nipple and the wallet comes out or the credit card or, yes, dear, I'll do it. Yeah, whatever. No,
all right, you got your nipple fetish. Nipples.
That's the easy button.
Sue, you offer it. I'll cut them off.
I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say at this point.
I'll just grab one and twist it. I'm giving Mel permission to twist them. Sue, like, next time she sees you.
Norm said, up 6, out 36. Yeah,
up 6, out 36.
T is blushing so hard he's orange right now. He's I don't know what to say to that. I've got some sun, but
I don't know what to say. There's nothing else to say at this point. That's it.
Sue, you got it, or T, you got anything you want to say?
I have.
He has fat.
Nice nipples. I do. I have nice nipples.
You got anything you want to add in, T?
I do. So, and first, I love Sue, and especially when he said he was like, and you know, I did it again. You know, I'm really pushing my luck this time, so I did it again. That was epic, to say the least. But just to run over real quick, for I see some of the comments in here. It's like, is Sue going to be there? And so Mountain Readiness, Sue's there, Carl's there, Emery's there, and I've got the whole rundown of all the classes for tactical riflemen there. It's going to be Friday, May the 3rd, situational awareness, combat mindset, going to be an awesome class. How to set up your body armor, that's Friday. Saturday, self-recovery, vehicle winch, and high lift. And, of course, battle rifle setup, make it work for you. And then that's right before women's AR-15. And Sunday the 5th is going to be improve your dry fire. Everybody knows it's important. You need to do it. And knife fighting, reverse grip technique with Mr. Emery Morgenstern. That is sure to be an awesome class.
Emery is, of course, a very talented knife instructor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's the whole weekend. And then, of course, the week following, Monday through Friday, at the Duncan's Outdoor Range is combat pistol carbine, and high-risk EDC.
What about our the name just left me, the simulator.
Oh, you're talking about Troy's Gate.
Yeah, Troy's Gate. Are you going to Troy's Gate?
I don't know anything about Troy's Gate.
Tell them about Troy's Gate, T.
Well, and I know Sue has talked about Troy's Gate as well. So Troy's Gate is an hour from Statesville. That is another paid class that will actually be at Mountain Readiness, teaching the survival brain. And these guys at Troy's Gate, Sue turned me on to this facility. I've been there like 8 or 10 times now. Just hooked. Okay. Awesome, awesome place. It's you're talking about working with real life actors. These guys have been in more gunfights because of their little acting simulation that they do than anyone in the entire world. It is amazing. They will force you to make the decision of how to react. And of course, the situations they put you in, you're face to face with them with screens and all this kind of stuff. Your brain tells you that you're actually there. All right. Your brain tells you you're actually there. And you will actually go into here with your pistol and real ammo, the whole bit. And they will browbeat you into reacting. It is an amazing training event. So Monday through Friday, or actually Monday through Saturday. So if you're taking all of Carl's classes Monday through Friday, they still will be open Saturday, that following Saturday. And of course, Troy's Gate will be at Mountain Readiness Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with their own classroom trailer that they built. And they will be doing the classroom side to show you what Troy's Gate actually entails.
And we're going to be doing YouTube videos about them later on in the year. So it is an awesome concept. There's a couple other places that have similar things. But I was really excited that Sue said, hey, these guys are right here, right near Sue. It's an excuse for me to get up there where Sue and Alan Kay's up in those mountains. And it's such a great part of America.
At least one day.
We've had it on the tactical rifleman list to-do list for tactical riflemen for a couple of years now. We just need to get it accomplished. Like so many other things that tactical rifleman does. I don't think people understand how busy Coral is. I mean, every week he's either filming a video or
all day. I'm going to be filming when we get done tonight.
Yeah, he's got a video to film.
I've got 4 hours of work tonight after this, guys.
Thank you for reminding me that I don't want to keep you all night. So
No.
We're going to close it out. I'm going to go around the horn. So what do you want to leave folks with, man?
Our goal is that there's a lot of concerned citizens out there. You know who you are. And the reality is that there are dark clouds on the horizon. So if you're a concerned citizen, our goal is to make you a more capable citizen. And it's not just about shooting. There's so many other things, you know. So survival, preparedness, all that. But medical, I stress medical a lot. But more important than anything else is training. And I use medical as an example. It doesn't matter if you've got $10,000 worth of medical gear up in your attic. If you're out Christmas shopping and that Korean War vet has a heart attack and lands his Cessna in the food court at the mall, it doesn't matter if you have a pistol with 2 extra mags. It is a mass casualty. And what's going to help is the knowledge that you have up in your brain. You know, why would I take off my belt as an expedient tourniquet when I'm standing in front of Dillard's and there's a rack of $100 silk scarves there? So it's more important than the materials a lot of times is you having the knowledge to do this. So that's why I've dedicated my life to training. I learned as a Green Beret, the job as a Green Beret, first and foremost, is to teach other countries to fight for themselves. And then in time of war, we lead them and fight. Like you heard Sue talking about leading his Kurds. It's the same thing now. I'm all about training Americans so that, if you think the French resistance from World War II, the OSS parachuting into France, the OSS is where the CIA and Green Berets owe our lineage. We both come from the OSS. So now fast forward, imagine them parachuting Special Forces A-teams into the mountains of North Carolina or to Idaho or to your hometown. And then those young Green Berets, those 20, those 30-year-olds, you know, they haven't fought a war before. And all of a sudden they've got to link up with Tom's Rod and Gun Club. And yeah. Right. But they're going to take patriots and lead them to help us liberate America. And wouldn't it be so awesome if those young Green Berets showed up and they were like, yeah, we already have basic firearms down. We've already got medical TCCC down. We already know this. We already know that. Because if they don't have to teach you the basics, they can immediately go into how to use the communications, the radios, the SCT, demo, all that stuff. Because you understand you're not going to be a front line fighter. Your job is unconventional warfare behind enemy lines. And I pray we never have to do anything like this, but whether you're defending your home or your neighborhood or your country, you know, when people say you've been to combat, You understand, combat could be a Walmart parking lot, mm-hmm. you know, and you're either, you understand, when it happens, your daughter holding your hand is going to look up at you, and you're either going to save the day or you're not. And that comes down to your level of training. I know you've got it in your heart to do it. I know you have it in your heart to do it. But are you competent and confident enough to do it? And that falls back on your skill set. So I encourage everybody, please come train. Please come train with us. There's lots of other great instructors yep. out there. But I've put together a really, really good team. And if you're interested in our classes, you can check them out at tacticalrifleman.com.
Pete Robert Tucci in the house. T, what do you want to say to everybody to close out with tonight?
Man, great show. It's always great to hang out with with Carl and of course Sue and all you guys. It's been too long. And what Tactical Rifleman's doing is great. I love the concept of Americans training Americans. You know, what a concept to be doing that kind of thing. So and of course it's no secret that I also have a crush on a man crush on Carl. And Chris even told me at the last class last year, he said, hey, just go see Carl and give him a big hug and a kiss for me. And I will tell you that Carl does not like hugs, nor does he like kisses. And he said something about cutting me. I think hurt my feelings just a little bit, but you know, I think it's how that went on. I guess that's it. We're wrapping it up.
I let Mel hug me. I let Dave hug me. But most people I hug sideways. I give them one arm.
With his other hand visible.
Yeah.
Always.
With his other hand holding a pistol or a knife.
No, you're different.
And like you were talking about, T, I like the concept of Americans training Americans to liberate yes. America from America. I like that idea.
That's deep right there. Did you see that came out the other day?
If America saw what America was doing to Americans, America would invade America to defend Americans from America.
Yes.
Or to liberate Americans from America.
There's so much truth to that.
Sue, what do you want to close out with tonight, bro?
I just want to caveat everything that T said with the way Carl and I have pretty much the same mindset. I mean, we were trained to go all over the world and train other people how to fight for their own freedom. And there's nothing wrong. A lot of people say, well, you were part of the U.S. Army. You would never do that here at home. That's the exact opposite approach, in my opinion. The way I look at it is Carl and I went to all those other countries, trained all those other people as practice, you know, for God forbid the Super Bowl ever happens in our country, we will be the ones training all that next generation. And and you know, I'm frustrated with all the young people just like you know, the X generation, the Z generation, we all get frustrated with the way they think and the way they talk and stuff like that. But when, and Carl and I have seen it so many other times before, when rubber meets the road and things go bad, you'd be surprised how quick they wise up and they want the training. So we're there for them. So
I hope they don't want the training. I hope the pressure never arrives. So.
Yeah. There's a saying, and it's been coming up a lot lately, that bad times make hard men, hard men make good times, good times make weak men, and then weak men make hard times. Yep. And you can roll back through history. It's basically an 80-year cycle, and you understand we're coming into that last 20 years.
Fourth turning.
And here's the saving grace. Understand that every time America bottoms out, America comes back stronger. Yep. And this time, this is a global event, guys. Understand that if you look at the amount of people being born and not being born right now, and the amount of males, even in China, that are reaching the age of retirement, there's nobody to replace them. But we're basically, we're bottoming out that 20 year of that year cycle, and it's going to suck. The only saving grace is historically, America always bounces back stronger. So you can look at your and say that your grandkids and your great grandkids are going to have an even greater country than what we have right now. Unfortunately, your kids and your great grandkids, they're in that transition. And I hope we're setting them up for success. We have not as a society. And it's the onesies and twosies that are going to drag us through this. And it's not our leadership. It's really not. They're the cause of the downfall, always has been. We don't have any control of that. Do the best you can. But understand there is light at the end of the tunnel. And North America will be the only NAFTA. If Great Britain joins NAFTA, maybe they'll survive also. But if you look at the math, and I'm all about math. Statistics, and statistically speaking, North America is the only ones that have a chance. The rest of the world is screwed. When you look at
birth rates and population replacement,
the rest of the world is screwed.
And that's stuff a lot of people don't look at. They don't realize how bad other countries have it. Anyway, we're going to let y'all go tonight.
Another channel.
Yeah, another time.
Another live stream.
Another live stream.
Another live stream.
Thanks, brother. It's good to be you, man.
Thanks for stopping by.
He'll let me hug him on occasion.
Not really. One arm. He gets one arm.
I get one arm.
He gets one on. Mel gets two.
Mel always gets two.
But they're not real. So, but it is what it is. It is what it is. Mel, you know I love you. You know I love you. You know I love you. You know I love you.
But thanks for being here tonight. T, thanks for being here, Sue. Always good to see you guys. I can't wait for Mountain Readiness, where we're going to hang out for a while. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Guys, if you have not signed up for Mountain Readiness yet,
you're slacking.
Even if you can't get time off from work, you know, you got that COVID, that's 5 to 8 day window.
That's it.
So you catch COVID, go to Mountain Readiness. I'm here to tell you, it's going to be a great, great time. Book a campsite because we're going to be doing Dutch ovens at night, all kinds of great stuff. It's going to be awesome. 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 Sue's going to be there sleeping in the Target trailer with Emery. They got this two-man tent that big enough for one person, the man love and the spooning. I don't ask. I just know everybody's going to be there. It's going to be a great time. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have our own section of the camp, guys, at Harmony. We have the Angry Nation camp. We're in the back. We're away from all the normal people.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Am I in the Angry Nation?
Yes. Yeah,
Angry
Nation. Yeah, you qualify. You fit.
I qualify as Angry Nation.
Oh, fuck yeah. whiskey, food, cigars.
Nice.
That'll be right.
Guys, I'm bringing my Dutch oven. I'm trying to get better at it. Everything I've ever cooked in the Dutch oven has been burnt.
Oh,
but
no.
I'm going to keep practicing. So if you want some of the best burnt pizza.
Best burnt pizza.
Breakfast biscuits. Made cobbler. You name it, I can
love it.
You name it, I can burn.
You name it, I can burn that shit. I can burn.
Perfect.
Please help me.
I'll show you.
I need help.
I'll show you.
I'll help you with your shooting. You help me with my Dutch oven, and I'm happy. All
right, guys, get to Mountain Readiness. May's coming up. We're getting there. It's not far away. It's less than a month away.
Less than a month away. Just over a month.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's the third.
Right at a month.
So
right out of month.
Right out of month. So get your tickets.
I got a cool camper I'm bringing.
Yeah, it's a badass camper.
The campers are rocking.
I like mine better, though. I'm gonna be honest with you. I like mine better.
50 feet from us. Nobody can
so.
It's going to be my camper. I'm going to steal that camper after Mountain Readiness.
You know, every time school moves there, I got to lock my door.
You got to lock it.
Because he's going to be in there chubbing my pillow. No, Sue, so you're not allowed in my camper, dude. Never. Not
Sue, I got the spare lock picks in the truck, bro. We can get into that camper.
You ain't getting into my camper.
Don't worry. We'll be inside. We're going to stuff it full of bodies and take a picture of us all in there is what we're going to do with it. We're going to make it like a sweat lodge.
50 naked people.
50 naked people. Chubbing pillow. So everyone. All right, guys, till Mount Readiness. We'll see you there.
Y'all take care.